start just to our meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Shout out the number, please. 428. 428 in your hymn book. 428. 428 in your hymn book. You'll find it on the page 349. I'm a pilgrim bound for glory. I'm a pilgrim growing home. Come and hear me tell the story. All that love the Saviour come. 428 is the hymn number on the page 349. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. 428. Let's stand as we sing. While we look to the Lord in a word of prayer, let us pray for the Lord's help and blessing and presence just among us tonight. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father,
We bow humbly and reverently, O God, before Thee tonight. We come to Thee in and through the precious name of Thy beloved Son, Thine only begotten Son, our Saviour and our only Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful gift of Thy Son. We thank Thee, O God, that Thy Word tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the sinless Son of God. We thank Thee that He did no sin, He knew no sin, and that He is indeed Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Father, we thank Thee that we are accepted in Him tonight. We can come to Thee and we can call Thee Abba, our Father, not because of anything that we have done or ever will do, but because of what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done for us upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross of Calvary He died, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood that He shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank Thee that through the blood of Christ we're saved from the wrath to come. And we who once were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. And O God, our Father, as we come before Thee tonight, we thank Thee for all Thy mercies and blessings and goodness to us throughout today already. We thank Thee tonight for health and strength and freedom and liberty to gather here with Thy people around Thy Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank Thee for every good and every perfect gift, every temporal mercy that Thou dost give to us. And Lord, we praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, for all Thy tender mercies toward us. And Father, we just pray tonight, O God, that Thou will bless our coming together. Lord, every one of us have different needs and different cares and burdens, but we thank Thee, O God, that we're coming to one tonight who is altogether sufficient to meet us, each one, personally and individually, at the very point of our need. We thank Thee for all who've been able to come tonight, for every head bowed before Thee. Bless each and every child of Thine tonight. Encourage Thy people. Build every believer up in their most holy faith. And Lord, draw us closer, Lord, to Thee. Help us to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Help us to decrease more and more in and of ourselves. And O God, we pray that Christ would increase more and more in our lives, we pray. Help us to die to self, to sin, and to be conformed more to the image of Christ, that others would take note that we have been to the Savior and that we belong to the Lord. Father, we do pray that Thou would bless every home and family represented tonight. Bless all our homes and all our families and all their different needs, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless our homes and our family circles, and that Thou would unite them all in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Father, we're mindful of those unable to come tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. O Lord, bless them and minister to them. Those that are led aside in hospital, lay Your healing hand, O God, upon them. And others who have suffered loss in recent times, may they know the comforting hand of the Lord our God, we pray. Again, we thank Thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna, for all the boys and girls who have heard Your word, and bless that word to the children. And we pray for these children. We pray that Thou would bless them early in life, O God, with Thy salvation, and that Thou would lead them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy presence and blessings with us last Lord's Day here, and all that Thou didst bring in under the sound of Thy word, and especially those that were in unsaved, unconverted. Do speak on to their hearts and save them by the grace and power of God divine. Father, we pray for our land tonight. We thank Thee for gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Bless every faithful effort where men are faithful to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word, and that, Lord, many might turn to the Lord even for salvation. So, Father, we commend our time now to Thee. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood. Forgive us our sins, we pray. And Father, we ask that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon us. Do our hearts much good tonight, we pray. And do remember again, Lord, thy servants and the mission there in Isle of Man. We thank thee for blessing. We thank thee for gathering people in to the meetings thus far. And Father, we pray that thou would bless them even tonight as they would cast out the gospel night there in Port Erin, Lord. We pray that thou will give thy servants tokens for good and souls for their hire, and that thou would be pleased to bless their even tonight and to save precious souls, we pray. Answer prayer here in heaven, thy dwelling place. For we do pray and we do ask all these things in the name of our Savior, thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word for our Bible reading to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Continue on just with our studies in this letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse number 1. While you're looking the passage up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us here tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you afresh around God's Word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Do please remember the meetings over the weekend, Friday night here, the youth fellowship at 8 p.m., and then the children's meeting at 6:30. Pray for the meetings and the boys and girls and the young people, and then the services here on the Lord's Day. Remember, it's our special Missionary Sunday, Missionary Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning service, 12 noon, the guest preacher, the Reverend David Brown from Larne. And he'll be coming to represent the mission board and especially give an update on the work that we have connections with in Nepal and also in the Philippines and also in Pakistan as well. He'll be preaching God's word on the need for missionaries today. And then at night, the Reverend Ray Kerskadden will be with us, and he hopes soon, within another, like the middle of June, plans to go out to Uganda, him and his wife and family, to take up the work there. So he'll be speaking about the work that the Lord has called them to, God's call and bringing God's word. So pray much for these meetings. Do and make them known, and do all you can to invite others in, and young people especially, in under the sound of God's word on the Lord's day. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together tonight. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, but when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 6. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word to our hearts. The verse I want to base our remarks around tonight is verse 4 there of that chapter, where Paul says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Now in chapter 1 of this letter, 1 Thessalonians, Paul there is very much portrayed as an evangelist. Indeed, it was by his evangelistic labors under God's blessing that the church in Thessalonica came into being and was planted. And like manner, it is important, yes, that every Christian and every church also be evangelistic in their witness. The Bible says to the Christian, do the work of an evangelist. Indeed, the believer is to do all that they can to spread the gospel by their prayers, by their their giving, by their words, and indeed by their deeds. And then whenever we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see here in this chapter how Paul very much is depicted as a pastor to the Lord's people. Indeed, throughout his Christian life, Paul was one who always had a great concern for the spiritual well-being of God's people. And in particular here in verse 4 of the chapter, you see how Paul tells how God allowed him, or if you like, God entrusted him to be a steward of the gospel. He says in verse 4, "But as we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the hearts." And Paul was indeed a faithful steward of the gospel. Yes, his ministry as a pastor and as a preacher was a ministry that was marked by faithfulness. And in all of this, Paul, yes, is a tremendous example to all God's people. Yes, every believer, every Christian, yes, is to have a concern for the spiritual well-being of their fellow believers and for those also that are unsaved. The Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself." Also, every believer is to be faithful in their stewardship of the gospel, if you like, faithful in their service for the Lord. And tonight, as we would look in particular just at these verses before us tonight that we've read in our text, I want us just to note some of the marks of Paul's faithful ministry. In doing so, may we as believers, yes, also be encouraged to be faithful in our service for the Lord in our day and generation. Notice, first of all, here the character of Paul's ministry. Notice what he says in verse 1 and 2 of the chapter. He says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." And those words in particular show us there that Paul's ministry was marked by courage and by dedication. Notice the mention there of the word bold at the end of verse 2. He says, "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God." And that word bold there really shows us how Paul was courageous in sharing the gospel with others. He says, "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God." And then he goes on and he says, "With much contention." Notice the word contention there at the end of verse 2. And it shows us that for as far as Paul was concerned and those who labored with him at this time, there was a struggle involved in getting the gospel message out to the people. He speaks of speaking the gospel there with much contention. And that really shows us here that Paul was involved in a spiritual conflict. He was involved in a spiritual warfare. He was involved, as it were, in a fight for the gospel. And you see that in that fight, Paul suffered. Indeed, he was shamefully treated, he says there in verse number 2, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi." Remember him at Philippi, how he was beaten along with Silas, and they were put in stocks and they were imprisoned, and they were ill-treated for the gospel. And that's what he's referring to there in particular in those opening words of verse 2. And all of this, yes, we see courage and dedication on the part of the Apostle Paul in his ministry. And brethren and sisters in Christ tonight and all our ministry for the Lord, we too are to be courageous. We too are to be dedicated to the things of God. Joshua 1 verse 7 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Yes, that was given to Joshua, but it is also given to you and I in our service for God today. Again, in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it says of the Lord, "Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." And that speaks of dedication in our service for the Lord. If you think of a soldier on the battlefield, wherever that battle is fought, that soldier needs courage. They need dedication in that conflict, in that fight. And this is what we also need in our service and in our ministry for the Lord. And the Lord Himself is the only one who can give us that courage and can give us that dedication to the things of God in our heart. It's not something that is worked up by the flesh or, as it were, by the Christian just gritting their teeth and bearing it, so to speak. No, it is the Lord Himself who can give us that courage and that dedication. The Bible says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Therefore, daily as believers, it is important, yes, vitally important, that we pray, and that we seek God's grace and God's help for courage and for dedication in our service for the Lord in our day and generation. Yes, the character here of Paul's ministry. Notice something else here. Notice in the second place tonight, notice the chief theme of Paul's ministry. And you'll see here that the chief theme of Paul's ministry was the gospel. Look at verse 4 again, our text. Notice what he says. He says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts." The chief theme of his ministry was the gospel. There was other things, yes, he ministered about in connection with the word of God, but the chief theme of his ministry was the gospel. And in this book, in particular, in the early chapters of the book, you see that he mentions the gospel six times. Look at chapter 1 there, verse number 5. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." And look at chapter 2 there again, in verse number 2, at the end of that verse, he says, "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God." And then in chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you," notice it, "not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls." And then go on to chapter 3 and the verse number 2. It says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer," notice it again, "in the gospel of Christ." And then in our text in particular, in chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." And Paul was one who made much of the gospel. He made much of the good news of the gospel in all of his ministry. And what is the gospel? Yes, the gospel is the good news that sinful man can know his sins forgiven, that sinful man can have peace with God, that sinful man can know power to live for God, and that sinful man can have a place in God's heaven. And that way of salvation for sinful man is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who died upon the cross for sins and for sinners, and who rose again victorious. That is the gospel message. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look there at verse number 1 of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. It says, Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." He declared the gospel. He preached it to these people. They received it, and they stood, as it were, for God in the light of that gospel message. But what was the very content of the gospel message? Look at verse 3, verse 4 of the same chapter. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And there Paul is summing up, if you like, describing for us the very content and core and heart of the gospel. It is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, all in the plan and purpose of God. And that Christ was buried, and the third day He rose again victorious, triumphant over death, over sin, over hell, over the devil, and it says according to the Scriptures, all in accordance with the plan of God. And my, the chief theme of Paul's ministry was ever the gospel. And Paul was loyal to the gospel right to the end of his days. You turn back to Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26. And here you have Paul nearing the end of his life's journey. He's a prisoner before King Agrippa, and he's witnessing to King Agrippa. And such was the effect of that witness upon King Agrippa that Paul said, almost thou persuadest, or Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But look at what Paul himself says, Paul the aged man, in verse 22 and verse 23 of that chapter. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. What was his message? Who did it center upon? Look at verse 23, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And by God's help, by God's grace, he remained faithful and true to the gospel right to the very end of his days on earth, his pilgrimage here on earth. And you read through the writings of Paul and through the epistles of Paul, and continually, there's no getting away from it. Paul could never divorce himself from the gospel. In all his writings, he makes reference after reference after reference to the gospel and to what God had done for him in Christ and what God could do for others also in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He made much of the gospel, much of the person, the work of Christ, much of the blood of Christ. This was the chief theme of his ministry. And brethren and sisters in Christ, in all our ministry for God and all our service for God, yes, the chief theme also must be the gospel and the message of salvation by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Yes, this is a message that we must never depart from. This is a message that we must never deviate from, to the right hand, as it were, to the left. No. My, the chief theme of our message and all our service for God must ever be the gospel. The Puritan preacher William Gurnall said these words. He says, the gospel is the chariot wherein the Spirit rides victoriously, and when he makes his entrance into the hearts of men. And my, God has promised to bless the gospel to the salvation of souls. Yes, we see here the theme of his ministry, the character of his ministry. Notice something else here in 1 Thessalonians 2. Notice the aim of Paul's ministry, the aim of his ministry. You see, in Paul's day, there were those who wrongly accused him of serving the Lord for his own selfish gain and for his own personal ambition. And Paul, he refutes this in verse 5 of the chapter. Notice what he says. He says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. He said, God was the witness of his heart and this manner. Indeed, in all of Paul's service, he was never out to promote self or to promote man. No. The aim of all his Christian ministry was the glory of God and the good of souls. That was the overriding aim of all his ministry, the glory of God and the good of souls. And again, people of God, that must ever be the aim and the ambition, the goal of all our service and ministry for God. It's not to promote self or man or anything of man. It is to bring glory to God. It is to do good to souls. You think of the words of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that there was none greater in the sight of God than John the Baptist. And what was his prayer in the Gospel of John regarding the Lord? He says, he must increase, I must decrease. And the Bible tells us that John was a bright and a shining light. And my, he was one who done good to souls. And that must ever be the aim of our ministry and our service for God, God's glory and the good of others. Now, it was John Wesley who said to God's people, do all the good you can, to as many as you can, for as long as you can. The Bible says, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Again, the hymn writer Charles Wesley says, and let me to thy glory live, my every moment spend in publishing the sinner's friend. Oh, the aim of his ministry. Notice one final thing here tonight. Notice the manner of Paul's ministry. We can say here from what is before us in these verses that Paul's ministry was sincere. Look at verse 3 there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. That word deceit means error. In other words, there was no error in his ministry that suited, as it were, the corrupt opinions or notions of sinful man. He tells us there that his exhortation was not of uncleanness. In other words, his ministry had upheld God's standards, the standards of God's holiness and righteousness and repentance from sin on the part of man. He says there that his exhortation was not of guile. In other words, there was no pretense or hypocrisy. Yes, in his ministry, Paul did not lower his standards to please the people and gain numbers and promote false professions. No, his ministry was not about pleasing man. It was about pleasing God. Look at what he says again there in our text in verse number 4. He says, for as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. And his desire was to please God in his ministry. And again, child of God, this is the example that you and I are to follow in our service for God as Christians. And all around us today, the pressure is on the Christian. The pressure is on God's people in the Church of Christ to lower their standards, to please people rather than God, and to conform to the spirit of this world. And the aim of all this is to boost numbers in the church, and it leads to carnality, it leads to easy believism, it leads to empty false professions in many churches. People of God, in all our service for God, we must ever be true to God's word, and we must seek to please the Lord. That was the testimony of Enoch. The Bible speaks of Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. It says he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Enoch lived in an ungodly age, an ungodly world, just as ungodly as our world is today. But in the midst of it all, he walked with God, he served God, and he sought to please God. And that must ever be the case with ourselves. And child of God, take encouragement from this tonight. For when we please the Lord, God has promised that we'll know victory in God's work, even over those that would oppose God's work, those who would oppose the gospel. In the book of Proverbs, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And not only will we see victory over those that oppose us, we'll also see answers to our prayers. That's the promise of God's word. Turn in your Bible over to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse number 22 there of the chapter. 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. John says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. And notice it. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight, pleasing in God's sight. Child of God, brethren and sisters in Christ, as stewards of the gospel, let us seek to be faithful to the Lord in our service for God, not as pleasing men, but pleasing God, which trieth our hearts. This was the ministry of the Apostle Paul. By God's grace, let us seek to follow his example. But turn again, please, in our hymn book before we get down to prayer, to hymn number 107 in your hymn book. The hymn number 107. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such as worm as I? Help me, dear Saviour, thee to own, and ever faithful be. And when thou sittest on thy throne, O Lord, remember me. 107, we'll stand as we sing. Stand as we sing.
Well, we just